Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
Sure is. All right, let's go around the room and meet the rest of the Broke Ninja Squad, or at least another three of them. So I want a name and then the most interesting day you've ever had in your entire life. Let me get the mic on. That might help, yeah.
My name is Tube, and the most interesting day I've had is when I was born.
Wow.
And do you remember it, Tube?
Hey, man, you know, like my mom had a video.
You watched the video of you being born?
Yeah, wouldn't you?
No.
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 Why? No.
What kind of, I mean, like, so, like, full-on video
no,
out
not
you
like,
come?
Like, when I was crying, like. Oh. I saw that and I was like, this is so interesting.
So not like a picture, like a video of your mom pulling you out?
No.
Okay, no, cool. No, that would be hectic. That would be traumatic. I'd find that quite traumatic. Okay, cool. Too bad that was a good answer.
No pressure.
Go for it.
My name is Thabani, a.k.a. Barry. I don't know. The most interesting day I had was probably when I was lost in Pretoria. Like, I can't think of any other interesting day.
Anything interesting happening when you were lost in Pretoria? Did you?
Yeah.
alien experiences, UFOs coming down?
Yeah. No, not necessarily alien, you know, but it was a whirlwind night, let's say. It was one of those that Seth Rogen makes a movie about.
Okay. Well, yeah. Tell us what happened.
Okay. Well, I mean, it is on the show, so, but for people who haven't seen it, we were at a groove. And I basically got lost when it was time to leave.
Are we allowed to mention the name of the group?
Yeah, of course. So whatever you want.
Homecoming picnic.
Yeah. We were at homecoming. Yeah. So I got lost in the commotion of us leaving, and then it was dark. You know, we'd all been fairly inebriated, so our senses were not that, you know, up to standard. But point is,
we all cried.
Yeah. Point is, my friends cried. They fought. You know, I basically had to scour through Pretoria looking for people. Eventually, I found a group of people. I was chased. You know, they tried to mug me.
Jeez, bro.
I busted up my ankle. I had came back with a huge swollen ankle. But eventually, like, I stowed away on a taxi that I didn't pay for. And then, yeah, made it back to Bra, made it back home.
That's an interesting day. Okay, cool. I'm glad that all worked out.
Yeah.
What's up? My name is Vusi. And the most interesting day I've had was when I got locked up at some detention facility at Sun City.
What? Jeez, what were you locked up for, Vusi?
I was basically indulging in illegal substances.
Heavy, bro.
okay. Yeah, you know, seaweed. And I basically got locked up for that. And what made it interesting is that when I got locked up, I bumped into a certain celebrity of some sort.
Oh, who?
It's, I'm not allowed to say.
Oh, why not?
I promised I wouldn't tell him. I promised. Oh, I mean her. I mean, yeah.
What? Are you sure now?
Producer Cat, do you have any, you've got a tip off on who this might have been that he bumped into? I don't know how you would know this, but you were telling me just now?
No, there's no tip off. I just thought, okay, my cool again. I don't know.
Whoa.
Nah, but he was in Australia.
Yeah, but he's back now, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, but I don't think
he's. Oh, but they didn't lock him up.
No,
yeah,
it wasn't him. Yeah. Okay. All right, at some point we'll get that out of you. Don't worry. Okay, so we are hanging out with Tube Thabani, a.k.a. Barry, and Vusi. They're part of Broke Ninjas. For someone that's never seen it, we had an in-depth interview with the rest of the squad a couple of weeks ago, but it's this really dope vlog where you guys basically just sit on YouTube and talk about your lives. I mean, it's made up of you guys are students, musicians, poets, graphic designers. I was saying this is like a more real, young sort of boys and bucks kind of thing that hasn't been commercialized yet. Is that a pretty apt description?
It is.
Yeah. Fairly.
We just have. I like the musician part where you like it's not commercialized.
Yeah.
That's actually the most important part.
Yes. Yeah. Well, not yet.
I mean, I think we're only close to boys and bucks in the fact that we are a group of black guys.
Yeah.
You know, we aren't in their industry.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily have the same views on things as them, but in terms of representation on media, we are sort of likened to them.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Boys and Bucks, though.
Yeah, they are. They're really doing cool things. I was watching Ricky Rick's Snapchat the other day, and his kid had a stack of money. He had a stack of money, and they were talking to each other, pretending it was a phone.
That's so cool.
That's called commercialized.
That's called gold.
But broke niggas will get there eventually.
Yeah. But then you're going to have to change the name of it.
To what, though? What are you, ninjas?
But then I don't think it's really...
No. You can't have broke and you bawling on Snapchat with the...
Who said it's broke in terms of money? It could be broke in terms
of... There was a person who tweeted us that we call ourselves broke niggas. Okay, I can say it.
Yeah, you can do it. Broke
niggas.
Broke niggas. And then at homecoming, where he was lost, we had, bottles of,
expensive liquor.
Expensive liquor. Okay. And then someone was like, we're not really... that broke. It's just that if we were to be like, I want new Pumas, I wouldn't get new Pumas, you know.
Okay, but you guys are really authentic. This is why I think that the stuff's doing so well. So we've got a couple of things we can talk about. We're going to go through the Nando's drive-through in terms of talk topics. We can either go tangy tomato, mild, or extra spicy in terms of what we're going to speak about in terms of varying levels of hecticness. What do you want to go
gotta
for?
Gotta go extra.
A little spicy.
Okay, you want it spicy. Okay, so then it's going to be serious conversations, right?
Aye.
Oh, yeah, so it's going to be serious. Okay, we're going to go for that.
If it's mild, it's not so serious.
Tangy tomatoes, we speak about boy tea and what's happening in the kitchen.
I didn't
want
that.
Okay, serious would be us speaking about the state of the film industry in South Africa. I'm going to play this trailer from The People vs. the Rainbow Nation, which is this new MTV documentary by the very cool Lebogang Rasitaba, who's done an amazing documentary. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard amazing things. So I'm going to play that, and then I want to have a little conversation around where the country really is at. Some powerful stuff will be said in this trailer you'll hear in a second. Let's not say that again. The documentary deals with if this idea of a rainbow nation is dead. And we've had people on the show specifically around January, February, with everything that was happening with Penny Sparrow and the conversations that were happening, saying that, number one, the reconciliation process post-1994 was not sufficient. And number two, this rainbow nation thing is actually bullshit, and who are we kidding? So let's take a listen to this. And on the other side, some real opinions from Tube Tabani, a.k.a. Barry. And
you can pick one. Pick one.
No, bro, I like saying a.k.a. I think it's just dope. That's what I'm saying. Okay, cool. This is The People vs. the Rainbow Nation, brand new documentary on MTV. Everyone's talking about it. Let's weigh in other side of this.
We talk about 94 as this momentous point in the country's history. We didn't change anything, really. We just kind of added blacks.
I think, it's about to get really intense in South Africa.
The whole system is very, very anti-poor and very, very anti-black.
I think white people need to, A, take an L and say, okay, we screwed up and we can't always be the father figure.
Success for a white kid is not like a great victory. Success for a white kid is destined.
It's not so much about engaging in conversation, it's more about listening.
If you're uncomfortable with me being a black person, then yeah, you know you're in the wrong country.
I don't believe in the Rainbow Nation. The Rainbow Nation to me is a fallacy because it does not exist.
All right. So the first question then, I guess, is... Can I just say something?
That beat is so dope.
That's a good score. But let's kick it off with this question then. Is there such a thing as this Rainbow Nation?
Nah.
You can start.
I don't think so. You know, I was having this conversation with a person, like a close friend, and then she was telling me, we're speaking about, her hunting for a job and all those things. And I was like, okay, cool, and how's it going? She's like, it's not going that well. But then you'd see all, the different ads and, the job opportunities and stuff like that. And then, I reached a consensus, with, my roommate, Mdu, and is that, there are jobs, but these jobs are not for black people. You know, you would apply, but then for some reason you wouldn't get it. Even though you're qualified, you probably went to VIT, you got honors and all those things, but all these positions are not for like for black people. And whenever they do hire black people, it's just so they can get their BE scores up and stuff like that. So the Rainbow Nation is like a facade that we're only saying, come black people, here we are, here you are. We have to do this so we can reach a certain level. so that even if you were to get a job, you would not reach the same levels as like a white person.
Mm.
So like I think the Rainbow Nation is like kind of like bullshit. Like the idea is nice, you know, that black people, white people, we're all united. But then in reality, it never comes out that way in sports, in jobs, and all those things. So it's like for the rest of the world, it's like South Africa's united. Now they're together, and racism only ended because people weren't like importing or exporting from South Africa. If that was not the case, I'm assuming people were still going to carry on because they didn't see anything wrong with it.
Mm. I actually don't think racism is over.
True.
But I think to a certain extent, it's been put in a way that we can now live with it.
Yeah.
So if I'm a racist. Back then, I would be able to do certain things and say certain things.
You'd get away with it.
I'd get away with it.
Yeah.
I can still do them now, but only to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So okay. That's where I think the lie comes in, because there's no really change in behavior. And I think a lot of the time, our elders, yes, they've done a lot for us to get to where we are. But I think the important people in higher places actually fucked us over. For us to be in this position that we're in now.
Mm. You want to mention someone who fucked up?
No. It's not about names. It's a collective. Yeah. You see?
So I mean, I would also think that, you know, the Rainbow Nation is a dream. It was a dream, you know, that was created to basically reconcile the country, to, you know, to get black people and colored people and Indian people and white people and Asian and everyone in South Africa to sort of come together. And I think the idea, yes, it is a great idea, but it was never sort of implemented, and it was never, like, the steps that were needed to be taken were never actually accepted. Like, no one, you know, no one wants to accept certain things, you know. Even in the whole Rainbow Nation discussion, you know, Indians are never included in the discussion.
Mm.
Coloreds are never included in the discussion. You know, immigrants are never included in the discussion, which is why we still have, you know, major xenophobia problems. It's always just black versus white. And then it becomes a whole inflammatory topic where the moment you mention Rainbow Nation, it's either black people get angry or white people get defensive, and no one actually wants to take action in sort of getting to a actual Rainbow Nation where we can move forward. Because a lot of the times, like, we talk about Rainbow Nation, but no one is actually like actively trying to do something to sort of get, okay, hey, white guy, this is why, you know, I need a space in this team above you, even though you might think the reason, you're better.
Hence
you know?
The reason why I say, even if we say, hey, white guy, this is where I'm at, that white guy that you're talking to had agreements and deals with our elders. So as much as we complain to him, like, yo, we're in this predicament, he already handled this.
Yeah, and another thing is that, let's say, like, the people in, like, the nice houses and stuff like that, these guys are already comfortable. That's now, we're trying to, like, break down their comfort and bring them down to our level.
How, so though? How?
Thing is, if someone in a point of privilege, it's not like equality, it's yes, very equality looks unfair to them.
Yes, because it's like... Now, let's say I'm staying in Sandton and you're staying in Alex, just an example, right? And then you're saying...
People like that Sandton shop,
I know they do. Sandton's
not the only nice place in the world.
Dude, it isn't, but it's an example. It's an example. So then you're staying in Sandton and I'm staying in Alex. And I'm like, okay, cool. Understand where I'm coming from. Like, a person of privilege will never understand where you're coming from because they've never been in your situation, you know? So then, like, the Rainbow Nation is saying... Calm down and understand what equality is. Now people are like, but I'm here, so why must I go to a lower level?
I think the biggest problem with the whole Rainbow Nation thing is that everyone was like, okay, apartheid is over, let's all come together, forgetting that certain people are already at the bottom.
Yes.
So a lot of people in corporations, a lot of white people, a lot of Indian colored people, whatever, a lot of people in privilege were just like, okay, fine, we're all equal, ignoring the fact that we didn't start on an equal plane. That's the main difference. That's why most of our problems start.
So, I mean, we had a lot of conversations around this on the show in January because it really came to the fore on social media. I mean, people speak about it, but for some reason it'll go like a couple of months where people aren't speaking that much about what people are thinking, and they'll speak about other stuff, and then it'll take like a penny sparrow to bring the conversation back to the fore. So we try and keep the conversation going. And a lot of, you know, when we were having the conversations, and they're difficult conversations to have, What was interesting is that when we were looking globally at the state of people getting along with each other based on skin color, globally, there isn't anyone getting it right. I mean, it is a massive problem in the United States, which is, you know, this first world country, this supposed leader of the free world. And really, when you completely step back and you start to think, like, what happens in society between, like, you were speaking about the greatest day of your life, Tubi, is the day that you were born, right? So when you were born as that baby, you had zero
idea.
You had zero, you know, this is what I think when I see an Indian person, this is what I think when I see a black person or a white person. So what has to happen, or what change has to happen in society and in the world for that perception between being born and starting to grow up to be one where you start to, I mean, you're never not going to see color. That's a dumb statement because if you are not colorblind, you see color. So it's like when I see somebody who's disabled, I get uncomfortable because it's difficult for me to see someone who's disabled. Like, it just is. So I'm not going to say I don't see anyone's disabilities, because you see things. You see someone's color. But how are we going to get better at treating everybody equally? I mean, it's a very loaded big question, but what do you think?
I think we need to start by, you know, stop saying non-racial, and it should be non-racist, you know, because ANC as well do this a lot, where they keep perpetuating this notion of, you know, we want to be a non-racial country. Like, it's exactly what you're saying. Like, there are Indians, there are black people. You can't ignore the fact that we look different, we sound different, we have different cultures. It should be a move towards non-racism, and then, you know, from there, take it further, you know.
I think what you're saying is, like, when you're born and when you grow up, like, I had, like, white friends and stuff like that, and I never saw a problem with it, you know. And then when you grow up, you, like, you see how other people live and like, how they, like, view, like, different, like, colors and stuff like that. I think it starts with what Barry's saying, was, like, well, like, with our government itself, is that, don't try, like, give us an illusion of what it is and what who we are supposed to be, because we are, like, I'm black.
They're the ones actually protecting these corporations. Yes.
So my thing is that, like, there needs to be, like, some form of, like, common ground. It's like, if all black people and all white people, like, now, I'm not saying, like with English, you know, some people, when they speak to you, they'll speak another language, and it's like the common language is English. So I'm thinking the common ground should be, like, we all try to get along, even though it's, like, near, well, impossible. Because what happens is, like, the parents teach the like, the younger people that black people are like this, and they're like, and, like, there's this black person compared to the one from the suburbs, and then there's the one from the ghetto. So there's a split already in between, like, a faction of black people, and then there's whites and Afrikaans, and then there's this kind of Indian, and there's that kind of. I think there shouldn't be, like, factions in the races themselves. They should just be, like, a black person, and then, you know, something like that.
Yeah, and to add on that, Tubi, in my opinion, right, for things to actually start going in the right direction, we need to take down the people that are protecting the people that are oppressing us.
So basically,
so ANC must fall to start with. Once ANC has fallen, right, we're already on the right path, because, I mean, I have young aunts and uncles that also grew up in Model C schools, and, you know, they're not as racist. So slowly but surely, we're gonna raise our children, and we're going to give them the right tools, you know, for life.
But
for that to actually make sense and work in the future, we need to take down your ANCs and your corrupt politicians, and, you know, take down the people that are actually oppressing us. And then from there, we build a generation.
So, okay, so here's the big question then, because August is around the corner for the municipal elections, and a lot of people I speak to, a lot of young people, are like, they're actually not going to vote because they can't find a party that they necessarily resonate with. Or they do resonate with the party, but they don't, resonate with leaders in the party or whatever it may be. And so the response is, cool, then I'm actually just not going to engage. And this idea of not voting for me is a really tricky one, because, like, the history and the context of it is that you would hope and think that because people had fought so hard and on, you know, it's a level of life or death,
it's like you don't
just
appreciate
a vote, yeah,
that you, people would have to vote, but then it's like people don't want to vote because they're disillusioned. So, I mean, come August, what are your headspaces in terms of voting?
I think with voting, like with the country that we're in, like especially the young people, that they saw how ANC treated us during the whole Fees Must Fall. And then, like, they weren't really trying to protect the students that were voting for them, were telling other people to vote for them. For me, personally, can I say who I'm going to vote for?
Of course,
no,
yeah.
It's up to you.
It's your right.
It is, right? the way I see it is that ANC has become very comfortable, very, very comfortable, so that they always expect that they're going to win. So I'm saying, like, an idea to just be vote for something else, so that ANC could just be like shaken up a bit and just be like rattle the cages, that maybe that, okay, we need to actually wake up and we need to start having an impact and start like coming with the promises that we keep making and stuff like that. Because DA is like definitely not an option, because all they do is just slander ANC. They never be like, we want to do this. It's always ANC did this. Did you see
and
that?
And my money has like 5 different accents. Yeah. I can't trust them.
Yeah, like, what's up with it? Like,
so I'm guessing you're probably in an EFF kind of space.
But the thing is, you look at ANC and you look at EFF. Who's to say that when EFF has that kind of power, they're not going to do the same thing ANC?
How do we know?
My worry.
Nobody said ANC was going to do this.
No, I feel like they planned it. I feel like before they even released Mandela, for him to be released, they were like, yo, dude, we're going to give you a rainbow nation in inverted commas. Here's your guap, here's our guap. This is how we're going to do it. Live.
So do you think
and
the
then
ANC,
the illusion continues.
So do you think the ANC isn't even run by the black people of ANC? It's just...
Well, I feel like
it's run by the Guptas.
Yeah, but I mean, also, there's like a major problem, especially, you know, in the upper... you know, runnings of the ANC, of them being, you know, captured by, you know, the communists.
And that's the thing. I don't want it to turn into an ANC thing. But
what
anyway,
do you mean an ANC
that's
thing?
That's the thing. Whenever we talk about moving forward in the country, we always run towards the ANC direction or the Zuma direction.
Because they are in charge.
It's not necessarily
charge,
a Zuma
charge,
direction.
But I mean, like, okay.
It's like, it, I mean, it is an ANC thing. I mean, we basically were brought up, you know, through ANC, by ANC. Like, there is a major problem with corruption, and I think that is the biggest problem. It's not necessarily that ANC is bad because, yes, in inverted commas, not all ANC, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, personally, in terms of my vote, like, I don't know who I'm voting for yet. But, you know, one thing I do know is that obviously Zuma's not going to be in power, you know, the next ANC elections. You know, he's out, and it also depends on how many of the other MPs with him are leaving.
Yes.
You know?
So wait, my thing is ANC can have this thing of like, okay, first term, we'll just be like cool about it, and then people are gonna vote again. Second term, we fuck shit up, it'll always continue.
Yeah,
it'll always continue that people will always vote for us, thinking we'll always get better because we're ANC.
The thing is also like a lot of these people are from the old school. You know, a lot of them are and like were brought up. You know, when they were pretty taking down, you know, the apartheid government, a lot of them, you know, were studying Stalin and all these guys, these crazy guys. And a lot of the problem I think in Africa in general that, you know, we have is that we see, let's say, communism. We see communism not work in other countries, but we have this sort of arrogance about us of saying, but we can make it work, you know, and that might just be one of the problems that, you know, our
we're facing.
Faces, yeah.
We're running out of time, but we're definitely going to get you back for we're doing a big Youth Day special, sort of trying to get these conversations had, because it's difficult to even find platforms to have these conversations outside of your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Where you speak about there's lots of things like girls. We'll speak about girls. serious stuff.
Yeah.
So I just need to get some closing remarks, but we are going to hear from you again. Just on the idea of the state of the nation, where you're at as a young person, I'm not going to guide it with a specific question, just closing remarks with the conversation that we've had the past 20-25 minutes in mind. Let's kick it off with Barry.
Hey, you chose the name.
AKA Tabani.
That's the name my parents gave me. Where do I start? Okay, well, I mean, right now I'm still excited to be a South African. You know, unlike Jacques Callas, I'm not embarrassed about that.
we'll cover it another time.
Yeah. Hey, if you're listening, you're still a dope cricketer, but you suck as a heavy human being. Yeah, like, I'm still proud to be a South African. I'm hopeful, you know, for this country, you know, like a lot of the youth. And I am looking forward, you know, to where we are in the next 10 years. I just do hope, you know, that, and I mean, I'm not going to wish ill or death upon any of the people in power now, but I do hope that we move forward in a direction that does not include them. You know, I think I'm very grateful for everything that they've done, but I do feel like, siyabonga, you know, it's time to dip now. Yeah.
I am, like, with Barry, I'm pretty excited about, like, being in South Africa, because I'm very interested to see where we will go as a nation, because I'm actually enjoying, like, this whole social media bashing down, like racist slurs and stuff like that. So, like, that's beautiful to see. I'm, like, very proud to be part of the youth, like, Fees Must Fall, the whole Rhodes RU reference list. Like, all these things are a great thing to be a part of, especially being a youth. I'm just hoping that there'll be, like, more, like, clarity and, like, less barriers in South Africa, as, like with, like, jobs and stuff like that, because, you know, these things need to, like, be broken down, and I believe it's going to happen. So yeah.
Private sector needs to come alive.
Yeah, it really does, man.
From my perspective, I'm also glad to be a South African. I don't think I would ever want to live anywhere else. You know, the people are awesome, great weather. Like, yo, it's gumnandla.
Yeah, yeah.
And like what I basically said is, like, from what I see, the only progress is change. And if we don't see change and we're still trying to manipulate and, you know, run around in circles from the truth, then there'll never be any change. Because that's all I'm seeing nowadays, is a problem, and then it trends, and then we go around it until the hype dies.
Yeah.
Until something else happens, and then we hype around that until it dies. So, you know, less hyping and more problem solving.
And just more consistent conversation. And not, you know, just when someone puts something on Facebook, rather keep it going.
Yeah.
And also people listening to each other.
Because
that's what I find a lot of the time, like, when you're speaking to someone, you can see them formulating their opinion that they just want to impress upon you. They're not actually hearing what you're saying before they respond with what they think. So listening is very important.
Abo oksalayo.
Yeah.
In the middle of the debate, he's like, no, oksalayo.
Yeah, and then that's where the conversation ends.
Basically, like, that means, like, I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
Whatever I'm saying is what I'm going to put upon you. Yeah.
Gotta listen. All right, cool. You guys are great to listen to. It is Tube there, Tabani, a.k.a. Barry, and Vusi. And if people want to keep up with you guys, you're so active on social media. How do we follow all day?
You can touch me on Twitter. That's Vusi_Tsepo. VUSI_Tsepo on Twitter and Instagram. And
Got
Snapchat, too.
Me. Twitter. Yeah, you can catch me on Twitter. At a young Padawan. Yes. Star Wars reference. Yes. Black geek. What up?
_young_Padawan.
_young_Padawan. Yeah. Instagram. I'm Barry Bones. And and likewise on Snapchat.
On Instagram and Twitter, it's Two Bears, like the number 2 and Bear. And yeah, man. Yeah.
As in TWO.
Yes, not that's the how you spell it.
Come on, dog.
It could be the number.
I said it last time and I'll say it again. And I haven't seen all your stuff. I'm still getting through it. But the
Please,
stuff
check
that you're doing
out.
On YouTube is so dope.
www.acdmtv.tumblr.com.
But it really is dope. And I said to the guys last time, I just think it's so cool that you're using the internet in this way to express your human experience, which is very, very cool. Guys, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you, bro.
I patiently waited for you for 9 months. I would sit in my chair and talk about how I longed to meet you. I knew you'd be the most beautiful baby in the world. I was ready for you, but I wasn't ready for this. If you have a child in need of reconstructive surgery, Smile Foundation can help you. Visit www.smilefoundation.co.za or call us on 0861 276 0800 453.
The Jersey Urban Trail and Obstacle Run is back on the 28th of May. Challenge your friends. Challenge your family. Enter the 12 or 18 kilometer adventure or 6 kilometer fun run. Whether you want the scenic route or the adventurous route, the choice is yours. With nothing stopping you, it's go time. The Hollard Jura, brought to you by AdReach and Joburg City Parks and Zoo. Enter at jerseyadventure.co.za.
I remember those abs. Hi, old friends.
Sorry, who are you?
I'm old you from the future.
Okay, and what are those?
They're rubberized man sandals, actually. Look, there's stuff I need to tell you. It all begins when your wife gives birth to twins.
Wait, I have a wife.
Try to focus. Things will change, like boobs.
Boobs.
They will now be solely for dispensing food and will be stored in an evil beige harness.
But boobs are for fun.
Not anymore. You need to let them go, Kev.
No.
You'll make a new friend, the muco extractor. It's a tube that you suck on to unblock your baby's nose.
Okay, no, I will never, ever...
But you will. You'll also cry openly while watching your kids perform in a play about shapes. And there'll be tea parties with Mr. Hedgehog and a hairless doll with one closed eye.
Oh, whoa, that is...
It's nothing like that time you and Ollie ate those brownies.
Right.
And then there's the matter of this handmade bottle top and glitter medallion.
Oh, that is hideous.
And yet, you will use the word beautiful. This is your future, Kev. It's time to get up off your futon, boy. Visit studentflights.co.za and travel before it's not fun anymore.
Nick Hellman on cliffcentral.com.